In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, it's a very simple verse that Paul gives us. He says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, I'm not trying to be a Scrooge, to use that term, but the question, "What did you get for Christmas?" is really not the best question to ask. It's a question we often ask. I've asked it. I've been asked it. But it's really not the best question. Well, you say, why? Well, it smacks of materialism. It smacks of the commercialization of Christmas. You see, we have certainly learned to attach our happiness to consumer goods, haven't we? I'm told that last year in 2024, the average American spent $902 at Christmas. That's a total of over $1 trillion in American money, according to our population. Now, I'm not suggesting here tonight that we burn Santa Claus in effigy. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I would like to just challenge you with this question. Rather than asking, what did you get for Christmas? Maybe we should ask the question, what did you give for Christmas? You see, our Lord Jesus taught us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, again, that passage did not say that it's not blessed to receive. It just said it's more blessed to give than receive. And this is a reminder that Christmas is a time of giving. It really is. And you say, well, where did this tradition come from? And by the way, not all traditions are bad. Some of them are very wonderful, actually. Where did the tradition of giving gifts come from? Well, I would suggest that ever since the wise men from the East showed up carrying gold and frankincense and myrrh, people have been exchanging gifts. Now, I saw someone humorously say that if they had been wise women, it might be a little bit different. They said if they were wise women that came instead of these wise men, they would have asked for directions and arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and actually brought some practical gifts. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's funny to think about. Now, some people aren't very good at giving gifts, but we do give because he gave. Can I remind you tonight that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither shadow nor turning or any variableness? And I would say to you tonight, no one gives quite like God. Maybe you've heard that statement before. Nobody can outgive God. And I think it's true. You say, what do you mean? Well, God so loved the world that he, help me church, gave his only begotten son. The Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death, but, help me church, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want to give you very briefly and very quickly here tonight, I want to give you four characteristics of the gift of eternal life. When Jesus came to earth, he was giving us the greatest gift that mankind has ever been given. And that is the hope and the promise and the possibility of eternal life, a restored relationship with our Creator God. Eternal life is the greatest gift. And that's why Paul wrote here, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Four characteristics of the gift of eternal life. Number one, it was an expensive gift. It was an expensive gift. We've probably all made a reference to the Taj Mahal. What exactly is the Taj Mahal? Well, you know that an Indian emperor named Shah Jahan built it to house the tomb of his favorite wife. How would you like to be the favorite wife that got that? It took 10 years to build, 20,000 artisans, and approximately at that time, $827 million just to build the tomb. And people from all over the world come to see the Taj Mahal and think, wow, that seems like a pretty impressive gift. Oh, no. There have been a variety of expensive gifts in this lifetime and in history, but all of them pale in comparison to the cost of God's gift of eternal life. I want you to think about it tonight. It cost the Heavenly Father. He did not spare his Son in an effort to save us from our sins. He gave him completely to us. Romans 8 and verse 32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" It cost the Heavenly Father. But I would submit to you, it also cost Jesus the Son. It cost him, as was sung about tonight, his glory and majesty in heaven. It cost him ridicule and humiliation as he walked on this earth and dwelt among sinful man. And it cost him his death and suffering on the cross. I heard again a story, I'm sure it's fictitious, but there was a woman with arms full of bulky packages and bags, and she crammed into a crowded elevator. And as the doors closed, you know, there's a lot of tension in an elevator. Do I look at people? Do I speak? But as those doors closed and everybody's crammed in there and she had all of her bags and things that she had purchased, she just kind of cut through that tension by blurting out, "Whoever's responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested and shot." And somebody in the back of the elevator shouted back, "Don't worry, they already crucified him." You see, it's not just a commercialized thing, is it? It's a biblical thing. And it was an expensive gift that was given when Jesus was given. And I want to say to you tonight, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Number two, I'd like to point out that it's an eternal gift. I want to ask you a question. And I'm only asking the question if you're, let's just say, 35 years or older. Do you remember what you got when you were 15 for Christmas? Now, there might be somebody in here that's a smart aleck that can remember, but all right, can you remember when you were 5 what you got for Christmas? You know, I doubt you really can. There may be somebody that did or does, but most of us can't remember what we got when we were 15. And if we do remember what we have, I'd like to ask you a follow-up question. Do you still have it? Now, you might, but very few of us still have it. Why? Because most of the gifts we get will break. In fact, some of them will break tomorrow. If they don't break in time, they'll wear out in time. Or it's a gift that will be consumed in time. If you got real young ones, you can remember this. If you got real young ones, I remember some of my kids, they were more intrigued with the box than what was in the box. Sometimes we lose the gift. But can I just tell you this? You can mark this down. Eternal life gets better as the years go on. I've been saved for decades now, and being saved means more to me today than it ever has meant. Eternal life never wears out. You can't lose it. It doesn't break. It doesn't falter. It doesn't fail. It just gets better in time. And it's an eternal gift. And so again, tonight I say to you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Number three, it's an essential gift. Now this year, like every year, millions of people are going to open gifts. And man, look, that's my love language. I like that. And so don't get me wrong. That's going to be great. But you know, you're going to open some gift tomorrow and it's not going to fit. It's going to be the wrong color. In fact, some of you are going to head out the day after Christmas and wait in some line to exchange it or return it. But there's one gift that meets everyone's need. It never wears out. It never needs repairing. You know, if I was to ask you if you could give one gift to everybody in the world, what would it be? You ought to think long and hard about that, because you say, well, I'd give everybody a Bible. But the truth is not everybody can read. Well, I'd give them this to wear. Look, not everyone wears the same size or has the same taste. Not everyone enjoys the same foods. But can I tell you tonight, only one gift is suitable for everybody, and that's eternal life, because everybody needs it. Everybody's a sinner that sinned against God, and everybody has been redeemed by the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And for those that would just simply put their faith in him, they can be saved. And I'm telling you, there isn't a person on this planet that doesn't need eternal life. And so again, I would say to you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And I'll say lastly, I told you I'd be quick, but I'd like to say this, it's an expressive gift. You know, there's much about the Christmas story we do not know, but what we know about giving, we have all learned from God. I want you to think about this. You think about how God is a giving God. God gave Adam and Eve a covering. God gave Noah a plan. God gave Sarah a miracle child. God gave the Israelites a law and a land. God gave the shepherds a message and the wise men a star. And God gave the world a savior. And God gave the church the Spirit. I'm just simply saying, when you read from Genesis to Revelation, you just see again and again and again how God expressed his love to us by giving to us. Have you ever given a gift out of obligation? I mean, it's Christmas. You know, that's happened sometimes, right? So-and-so got you a gift. You weren't expecting a gift from them, and you thought, oh, man, I didn't get them one. I got to run out and get them something. Or maybe you just thought, man, we're going over to these folks' house. I got to get them something. And you gave a gift out of obligation. Have you ever received a re-gift? Like, I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure this is from last year. Have you ever received a gift that someone else wanted, but you didn't want it? Or vice versa? So we could go on about the funny, humorous ways that we give gifts and receive gifts, but I'm going to tell you, eternal life is not an obligation. It's an expression of God's love to man. And I want you to know tonight, I realize that I'm most likely speaking to a group of people that have received Christ as their Savior, but I never want to assume that or take that for granted. Can I just say tonight to you, God loves you. You say, how do you know God loves me? You don't know what I've done or where I've been or who I am. Oh, I can say with authority, God loves you. You say, how do you know that? Because He gave His Son for you. Why? Because He wants to be reconnected to you. Even though our sin had broken us away from Him, He wants to reconnect with you. And He did so by sending His Son to die for our sins, to be buried and raised from the dead. And so that's why I say one last time, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. If you attend church here regularly, you know that I like to ask questions. And so I'm going to ask you some questions, and you know that I'm done because I'm asking questions. I started the sermon by saying, you know, it's probably not the most appropriate thing to ask, what did you get for Christmas? But I'm going to break my own rule. I want to ask you the question, what did you get for Christmas? And I hope that you can answer and say, you know what I've gotten? I've got Christ. That's what we got for Christmas. And it's the greatest gift ever given. So I'd like to follow up with a couple more questions. Have you received the gift of eternal life? Because the gift does no good if you don't receive it for yourself. If you'll understand the proverbial language I'm using, don't just let the gift sit unwrapped under the tree. No, God sent His Son. He gave His Son for you, but you must receive Him. So I'm asking, have you received the gift of eternal life? For me, I received the gift of eternal life in 1984. It forever changed my life. If you've never received the gift of eternal life, my question for you is this, would you like to? You say, how do you receive it? You just simply realize that you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself, and you call upon Him by faith and say, I believe You're the Son of God and You died for my sins and I'm trusting You to save me. If you'll call upon Him in faith, the Bible says that you can receive Him and He'll give you the gift of eternal life. Here's my final question. Have you expressed your gratitude for such a great gift? I hope boys and girls, especially teenagers, tomorrow when you get gifts and presents, I hope that you'll look at your parents, your grandparents, your siblings, your friends, and you'll tell that person, thank you for what they gave you. But more than anything, I hope that we will all as a church family collectively say to God, thank You for such an unspeakable gift. I don't know how I could possibly express my gratitude, but thank You for sending Jesus Christ and giving me the gift of eternal life. Let's make sure we express it to the Lord tomorrow.